Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these aren't the words of a one who's oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?
Phil.
Thanks very much, Julia, and a warm welcome to you. Well done for making it through the sleet. Keep that open in front of you. Let's see how far we can get with these words in the next few minutes. Our subject today is the love of Christ for his people. And it's greater than anyone in this room can imagine. It's stronger than anyone in this room can grasp. To be loved is something we all long for. I don't have to persuade you of that, I don't think. As Bradley Cooper sings to Lady Gaga, tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? And as Lady Gaga sings back to Bradley Cooper, tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired of trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Our hearts seem restless to be loved. I wonder if you know that. You feel that yourself, restless to be loved, but never satisfied in this world. The more we go on in life, the more we realise that not even the best human relationships can fill that void. And work, career, certainly can't, as you guys know. Instagram has 1.3 billion users. I'm not on Instagram, at least I don't think I'm. I might be on Instagram, I'm not sure, but if I am, I don't use it. But Instagram is just a modern manifestation, isn't it, of that old longing that all humans have to be loved. I remember seeing a woman not long ago. I was sitting in the park, and it's a nice day, it's the summer, and she must have been in her 40s or something like that, wearing a slinky dress, all made up, and it was a strange scene, and she was posing on a bench, and her 8-year-old daughter was taking photos of her, and I plucked up the courage to just politely ask, what's going on? Oh, it's for my Instagram profile. Athena O'Neill, an Australian model, was well on her way to being Instagram famous with 500,000 followers when she realised its emptiness and, quote, I'm over this celebrity culture and obsession. It's silly, and for the most part, it's internally lonely and fake. She admitted she'd offered her body up for public admiration, posting selfies in order to be told how beautiful and attractive she was. But the whole social media phenomenon, is it not an expression of our longing to be loved, to be significant to someone? We long to be loved, that much is clear, but where is the love that we long for? Where can it be found? We've made all this progress technologically, haven't we, in the last 50 years. Serious technological triumphs, but anxiety, depression are at all-time highs in the West. As I said, our subject is the love of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for his people. It is greater than anyone in this room can imagine, and it is the love that we all long for. As we read through John's Gospel, what he's doing is he's showing us what kind of Messiah Jesus is. And if you're here with us, you're visiting, you're in the right place, because John's Gospel defines for us the kind of Messiah that Jesus is. At the end, you will know, he states the aim of his Gospel, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, but what kind of Christ? What kind of Messiah? Well, that's what John's Gospel is all about. And so far, he's defined him, the Word made flesh, God himself on earth, the Son from the Father, fully divine, the bread of life, the light of the world. And when we get to chapter 10, which is where we are now, the burden of this whole chapter is to show us that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, is also a shepherd. He's a shepherd for his people. And the burden of these verses that we have right in front of us today is that he is the shepherd who really loves his people. I think that's what these verses are about. He is the shepherd that really loves his people. He loves them passionately. He loves them personally. And there is no limit to his love for them. Just have a look down again. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I think what we have here is a claim and evidence. The claim, verse 11, is that he is the good shepherd. The evidence for that claim is that he lays down his life for the sheep. The claim, he's the good shepherd. The evidence, that he lays down his life for the sheep. I think that's the point of this comparison, isn't it? The fake shepherd runs away because they have no concern. They just don't care about the sheep. The real shepherd, the true shepherd of the sheep, well, you can know him by what he does, by what he's willing to do for them. That is the point of these verses. Verse 11 again. I am the good shepherd. How do you know that? Because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In other words, the true shepherd of God's sheep is known through what he does. He is known through his death. And so Jesus says here, he says, as I lay down my life, I want you to draw the right conclusion about what kind of saviour I am, that I am the true shepherd of God's people, and that I am the good shepherd, that I love my sheep. Now, someone may well be thinking at this point, what on earth is this all talking about? You know, we're talking about sheep and shepherds. There's been no mention of sheep or shepherds this morning at work. This is a bit of a gear shift. What's going on? I haven't got the foggiest. Well, that would make sense. Just take a step back. I think we need to. Just take a step back. We need to imagine for a second God looking down from heaven. What could he see? He could see his precious flock in danger, his people. What danger? It was the danger of sinking under the weight of their sin, headed for judgment and the destruction they deserved. Okay, so it was a danger that the sheep couldn't see. Just imagine sheep in a field and the wolf crouched in the bushes somewhere. The sheep couldn't see this danger. The sheep had no idea. But it was a danger that God could see. And so the wolf in these verses, the wolf is the wolf of death and judgment because of their sin. That's the danger. Now look at the conversation that happened in heaven in verse 18. Just have a look down at verse 18. Jesus says, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And here it is. This charge I have received from my Father. Okay, so imagine God, the Father and Son, in heaven. The Father says to the Son, Son, I want you to be the shepherd of our sheep. And I want you to lay down your life for them. This charge I received from my Father. The Son says to the Father, Father, I want to lay down my life for the sheep because I love them and because I love you. Can you see that in verse 18? No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Now, I take it he means there, not only does no human being take my life from me, but neither does my Father take my life from me. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down of my own accord. He laid it down out of love for his sheep and for his Father. And so the Son came down from heaven to earth, took on human form, and laid down his life for the sheep. You know that picture of the rabbit and the duck? You know that one, the phenomenon of, like, you can look at the same thing and see it from different perspectives, and some people see a duck and some people see a rabbit. You know the one I mean? No, one or two. Okay. Anyway, if you do see it, it's definitely a duck. By the way, it's not a rabbit. But some people see a rabbit. That thing of looking at the same thing and seeing different things. Well, it's the same with the cross of Christ. It's the same with the death of Jesus. Many will look at the death of Jesus, and what they will see, they'll read the accounts of how he deliberately went to his death and laid down his life. And what they will see is a tragedy or a myth. And some of you here might currently think that. Certainly people in the offices. Jesus says to his sheep, but can you see what's really happening as I lay down my life? I am the good shepherd laying down my life for the sheep. Can you see that? Just think for a moment what it means to have God, your creator, as your shepherd who loves you forever. Can you imagine anything better than that? Not in a million years. To have God as my shepherd who loves me. Well, that is the love that we look for on earth, but we'll never find. As an early Christian put it so well, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. God as our shepherd. You guys spend most of your lives in the cold, hard environment of the city. Do come and tell me if that's an unfair description of your workplace. My impression is that it is a cold, hard environment, generally speaking. Perform and you're in. Fail and you're out. There's not much love to be found in the workplace. No, people are tolerated, respected, befriended even, but loved, no. And the city is packed full of people searching, therefore, searching for acceptance, for recognition, for love, which cannot be found in a career. But Jesus says, I am the true shepherd, the good shepherd. It can only be found in him. And if you doubt it, Jesus says, look at what I did. Right, that's the proof. The claim, I'm the shepherd. The proof, I laid down my life for the sheep. No one else has done that. And so we know him by what he did. The objective fact on the table. The good shepherd known through his death, firstly. But secondly, originating in his heart. And sorry for this clunky heading, I couldn't think of a better way of putting this. That is, his love for his people originates in his heart. what I'm trying to get at is that the point is that the Lord Jesus doesn't love his people because he died for them. He died for them because he loves them. And there is a hugely important difference between those two things. When you take your wife a bunch of flowers, or you buy your mum a box of chocolates on Mother's Day, coming up March the 19th, you can thank me afterwards for that. Or when you buy your husband that craft beer, you don't do it. You don't buy the flowers or the craft beer and then say, right, now you've got the flowers, I can love you. That's not the order, is it? You give them the flowers because you love them. People often mistakenly think that about God, the Lord Jesus. And it goes something like this. He hates his people until he dies for them. And then once their sin is cleansed, he can love them. You ever thought of it a bit like that? Sure, only once sin is washed away can he welcome his people back into his holy presence and bring them into relationship with him. But his love comes prior to, before the cross. His love is what brings him down from heaven to the cross. His love originates in his heart for his people. Just have a look down. And I want us to just read verses 14 and 15 carefully. I think these are at the heart of this section. Verses 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I said at the beginning that no one in this room, including myself, has begun to understand the strength and the depth of Christ's commitment to his people. Can you see the two words there that surely cannot be true in those two verses? You see them there? Two words. Just as. Really? Now what he's saying here is almost unbelievable, I think. And if it wasn't written down, we could never dare to believe it. Just think about this. How does the Father know the Son and the Son know the Father? This isn't talking about knowing about. This is talking about the relationship that stands between the Son and the Father and the Father and the Son. What he's saying here is, I want you to take the intimacy and the commitment and the love that exists between the eternal Son and the eternal Father. You got that? Well, no, you haven't actually, because it's impossible for any human mind to conceive of. That same intimacy and commitment and love. Well, that is the intimacy and commitment and love that exists between shepherd and sheep. Do you find that extraordinary? What kind of love, therefore, does the shepherd have for his sheep? What words could describe it? Personal, passionate, intimate, ferocious, never-ending, stopping at nothing. And notice verse 15, it is out from this love, therefore, he lays down his life for the sheep. That is the order. He loves them as he loves his Father. And so therefore he comes down from heaven and lays down his life for the sheep. The question is not, therefore, if we're Christian, the question is not, does he love us? But can we accept it? And can we grasp how much? Many Christians struggle to believe that we're loved because, and I wonder if this is the case for you, it certainly is the case for me, because of our constant failings and sin. We know we're wretched, and we're right about that. And we think, well, perhaps our sin dampens and lessens his love for us. Are you familiar with this one? I'm sure the Lord Jesus loves others, but not me. If that is you, take comfort from these verses, because sin does not dampen the love of Christ for his people, nor does it affect it in any way. Rather, sin is what brought him on his mission of love from heaven as the shepherd who loves his sheep unconditionally. It is wonderful news, the love of Christ for his people. I just want to pause briefly on another point. Notice also that his love is personal. It's personal. So, yes, he died for our sins, if we have believed in him. But notice also, he died for you. What's the language there? He lays down his life for the sheep. He died for you. And so the burden of these verses, guys, if you want to, I think if you want to really get to the nub of it, why are they written? They are written so the sheep might know what kind of saviour you have, or what kind of saviour you could have if you haven't yet put your trust in him. The love of Christ for his people is the personal love of the shepherd for a sheep. He doesn't save by the batch, but by the individual. That's the point. Just as he knows his father individually, so he knows each sheep individually. You'll remember back to chapter 9, we were there a few weeks ago. The blind man is the model sheep who the Lord Jesus brings out of the world. The individual. He calls his sheep by name. This, by the way, therefore, is what allows the Apostle Paul in Galatians to speak of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, for my sins, but for me. Have you thought about that? Do you still believe that as he went to the cross, he had you in mind? Let's look again at verse 16. I have other sheep, that's the Gentiles, most if not all of us in this room if we're Christian. I have other sheep that I must bring. He had you in mind as he laid down his life. Why are these verses written? Simply so that the sheep might know what kind of saviour they have. A shepherd, do you know that? Who loves you individually, passionately. If you doubt it, look at what he did. Don't look to your feelings. Your feelings won't tell you much. They're not reliable. Look at what he did. He laid down his life. We have friends who've adopted two children. And anyone who's adopted children, I don't know if there's anyone here who has, will know that one of the great challenges, apparently, of the first few months or even years is to persuade the children, in all of their doubts, that they're loved. You know they're loved as the parent, but they don't. They won't believe it for weeks, for months, perhaps even a few years. And it's a bit like that for the Christian. And anyone who would come to Christ, the Lord Jesus, having won us to himself, there is still the great work of persuading us how loved we are. And that's what these verses are for. I don't know how things are between you and the Lord Jesus. If you are a Christian, he wants to say to you through these verses, can you see what kind of saviour I am to you? I'm a shepherd. I love you. I've got you forever. And if you're hearing these things and you've not yet made a commitment for the Lord Jesus, well, I think the question for you is, do you want a saviour like this? If so, can you hear his voice? And if you follow his voice, you will prove yourself to be one of his sheep for whom he's died. I don't know what worries you may have. Just close on this note. You may have many worries or anxieties at the moment. Can I say to you, if God is your shepherd, and he stopped at nothing to deal with your greatest problem. How much more will he lead you safely through this life? Enough money, enough care. His love for you is passionate, it is intimate, his power is endless. You can rest in his care. Well, finally, these words that you may know, and then I'll pray. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And John 10 clarifies who that shepherd is. The Father has said to the Son, will you be the shepherd of the sheep? The Son said, yes, I will. And so for us, the Lord Jesus is our shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Let's pray as I close. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the good shepherd who has laid down your life for the sheep. Those of us here who are Christian want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the kind of saviour that you are. And we want to say to you that we do believe that you are a shepherd who loves us and will bring us safely through this life, through this world, into the eternal new sunshine and glory that you have prepared for your sheep, the life, the abundant life. And we want to pray for all who have not yet come to you, all of your sheep in this city. Please would they hear your voice and follow. And we ask that you might use us to bring them into contact with the voice of their shepherd. And we pray all of these things in your name. Amen.